First of all, I want to say to those of you that are visiting, some are visiting, Hannah, glad to have your family with us today, and we just appreciate other visitors. Thank y'all for being here. I'm not preaching this morning, so I wish y'all would please come back. We have church tonight at 6, so I'll be preaching then, and I'd love to have the opportunity to be able to preach the Word of God to you. But we've got Brother Steve Sanders with us. You've heard a little bit of his presentation. He's done with that, and now which is good stuff, but he's got a message now in his heart that I think will be a great encouragement to you about how God can bless our lives. Everybody should want God's blessing on their life. And if you don't, something's wrong. But we need to know how to get that blessing. And I want him to come and share that message with you today, and I think it'll be a great help to you. So, Brother Steve, come give us a message God's put on your heart.
Thank you, Pastor, again. Thank you so much. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. And how many of you know John 3:16 by heart? A lot of you do, right? Well, you also know when I say, any preacher says Malachi chapter 3, you go, oh no, here we go again. It's going to be about tithing. It really isn't about tithing. And oh, by the way, if you are a visitor, you've got to come back. This preacher is 10 times better preacher than I am. And you need to come back and hear this preacher, okay? I'm not from these parts. He is. This is a great preacher, and this is a great church. And so I want to encourage you to come back and hear a great preacher tonight, okay? Real quickly, I just want to talk to you, and I want to talk not at you, but to you. God wants to bless you. And you say, well, I know God has already blessed me. Well, God wants to bless you more. And I want to talk to you today about how to get God to bless you. Now, I'm not talking when I say that about money necessarily. I'm talking about how to get God to bless your family, your marriage, your job, your health, yes, your finances. And so God's word is very clear. How many of you, don't raise your hand because I know the answer will be 100% of you, but how many of you want God to bless you even more? Well, I'm here to tell you, as a messenger of God, God told me to tell you this. God wants to bless every one of you more than he already has. And I'm going to show you today how you can get God to bless your marriage, your family, your finances, your health, and everything in your life. You can get God to do that. So that's what we're going to study about today in God's Word. It's going to be a fairly short message, three quick points. It might be good if you could take notes. It always helps me when I go to church to take notes when I'm listening to another preacher because it keeps my mind focused on what he's talking about. So if you want to take out a piece of paper, not that white piece of paper in that brochure, but take out another piece of paper, you can, okay? Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Father, thank you again for this time. Thank you for the Lord's Sunday that we can come to this house and worship you. Thank you for the worship that we've enjoyed already, the great music. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity of giving. Lord, I pray that today you'd quiet our hearts for just the next very few short minutes. Help us to focus on God's word and to see what you say in your word about how we can get you to bless our families and ourselves. Lord, we need a blessing. And I pray, God, that you would, if there's anyone here that's never trusted in Christ as their personal Savior, that today will be that day of salvation. Encourage hearts. Help those that are lonely, discouraged, depressed, feel defeated. I pray, oh God, that today they'll see hope in you and your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Look in Malachi chapter 3. You're used to this, I know. Verse 8, I'll get through it, and then we'll go on. But it's kind of the introduction to where we're going. Verse number 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Let me stop there for a minute. Now, this is Malachi prophesying to the children of Israel, and he said, ye are cursed. Well, turn to Malachi chapter 1. Look at verse 1 of Malachi chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. Malachi, the beginning of the book of Malachi, says, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi, I have loved you, saith the Lord. You say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I love you. Listen today, God loves you 10,000 times 10,000 more than you can ever imagine. When I got saved, all I knew is I was a little boy, 7 years old, and I was going to die and go to hell, a Sunday school teacher said, because I was rotten. She said, Stephen, you're rotten. You need Jesus, and you're going to die and go to hell unless you trust in Jesus. And I didn't want to die and go to hell. So all I knew is that I needed to ask Jesus to forgive me of my sin and come in my heart and trust him to do so, and that's all I knew. But as I grew older, I learned about something called redemption, sanctification, reconciliation, propitiation, adoption. And then when I went to Bible college, I learned about soteriology, eschatology, ecclesiology, hermeneutics, homiletics, and all that stuff. And then a youth pastor came by town, and he said, I want to encourage you, every one of you, read through the Bible every month. And I said, what did he just say? He said, read through the Bible every month. You kidding me? You're talking about the entire Bible? You mean the book of John? No, read through the entire Bible every month. And so I took that challenge, and I started reading through the Bible every month. It took me 2.5 hours, but I read through the Bible every month. And I did it for months and months and months. And the more I got into the Word of God, the more I saw how rich God was, how much God loves me. So I learned all that stuff I told you about a minute ago. And I've read through the Bible a lot of times. And I've been in church since 1955. I was saved in 59. And you know what? Of all these things in this book, you know what is the greatest truth I ever found about the omniscience of God and the transcendency of God and the great things about God and his attributes? You know what is the number one thing in the Bible that means more to me than the entire world? And that is this: Jesus loves me, this I know. The greatest truth in this book, of all the doctrines and of all the studies and of all the things that have ever been taught out of this book, Jesus loves you, Stephen. Jesus loves you. God loves you so much. And since I've been saved, I have given God a million reasons not to love me. And none of them changed his mind. Oh, my soul, how much God loves you. Wait a minute. Didn't he just read a few minutes ago that they are accursed, the same people that God loves? God says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8 and 9 that you're cursed. How in the world can they be cursed? That doesn't make any sense to me, Brother Steve. How can God love us and then we be cursed? Well, the answer is that when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, went through the Red Sea, went towards the Promised Land, that God let them around in circles in Numbers because they weren't ready to go to the Promised Land, because God wanted them to go to the Promised Land, the land flowing with milk and honey, the land of prosperity, the peace, the land of... And all that was there is a bunch of giants were in the land. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Amorites and all those otherites. And God said, now look, children of Israel, I'm going to give you a promised land. I'm going to save you out of this world, and I'm going to give you a life of joy and prosperity and peace, but you've got to go there, and you need to destroy the gods of the heathen. Now, you're going to live among the heathen, and the heathen have things. And those things, you be careful, because those things can become your god. And so the children of Israel went to the promised land, And they destroyed some of the people that were there. And then they thought, well, this is kind of nice. Look, some of these things that these people have that are these worldlings, some of them are pretty nice. And pretty soon those things became a god to them. And you all know the passage of Scripture in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world. You say, Brother Steve, I'm a fundamental independent Bible-believing Baptist. I don't love the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that's in the world is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They're not of the Father, but they're of the world. And so what happens is we Christians, many times, it's whatever we spend money on and our time and our thoughts become our God. So your God is what you spend most of your time, money, and thought on. And did you know what? I look at America, and America's going to hell. I have never seen America in such a terrible condition in my life. Can I say it? Can you say amen to that? This country is in a terrible, terrible mess. And young people, boys and girls, when we were little boys and girls, this country was not like this. This country is more hell-bound than ever before. And I am ashamed of our country today. And it breaks my heart. And I watch television at night sometimes, the news, and I get my heart broken. Matter of fact, what I watch on the news sometimes is a flat-screen TV that I bought at Costco. Did you know that they're coming up with this brand-new television that it's a 4K, and when you look at it, you think you're there? And then I'm tired at night, don't you understand? So after work, I got to go home and watch my flat-screen TV. But did you know this thing right here has 10 times more power than the computer that took the men on the moon? What you have in your hand. And you know what this does? This is a movie projector. Honey, look at this Facebook thing. Hey, honey, look at this. Oh, good night. Look what YouTube had. Oh, sweetheart, look at this. This is Netflix. Oh, look what this. And pretty soon, I just want to sit down and relax with my iPad, with my computer, with my phone, and watch my flat screen TV. And oh, my goodness, I see the world's going to hell. What's wrong with this world? This world's enough. Honey, did you see what they posted on Facebook? This isn't this so funny? This is so great. Sweetheart, I got to go mow the grass. Wednesday night, I've got other things to do. I got to go get an electric cord because I lost it to my phone. And so, I got a new cable thing. They've got these things you don't have to have cable anymore. You can put this little thing in your TV. I got to go check out. And pretty soon, the truck needs to be fixed. Yard needs to be fixed, and something else in the house, and pretty soon, before I know it, the things of the world I'm loving. Hello, fundamental independent Bible-believing Baptist. Pretty soon, I get caught in the trap. Love not the world, neither the things. You say, is this sin? No, it's what I do with it that makes it sin. It's the time, the money, and the thought that I pour into it. So, you know what I did? I got off Facebook. I hardly ever got on Facebook. When I got on Facebook, nothing wrong with Facebook. I'm not telling you to get off Facebook. But I got off Facebook, and you know how many people commented to me that I'm no longer on Facebook? None. Do you know how much I missed? Nothing. But do you know what I realized? I've got a chair, and I push that old chair back, and I lean back in my easy chair, and there's my flat screen TV, and I got my iPad or my phone, and pretty soon, I start complaining about America. Look what they're doing to Trump. Look what look what's going on in sex addiction in our country. Opioid addiction is rampant like never before. And pretty soon, I think of Mark 4:19. The word of God is like seed. When the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things choke out the word. And so many times we Christians, every fundamentally independent Baptist church I know of, is going down in attendance. I go to hundreds of them. It's because the things of the world are alluring our time and our thought, and they're getting our attention on what's the most important things. And so today I want to teach you, now I only have 10 minutes, I want to teach you the three quick things how to get God to bless you again. Point number one, turn to Psalm chapter 1. There's three quick points, we'll be done. Psalm chapter 1. Do you want God to bless your marriage, your health, your job? God says, if you'll just do these three things, I promise you, I will bless you. God wants to bless you. He loves you. Verse 1, you all know this, but I'm getting somewhere with this. Go with me. Blessed. The word blessed means happy. It means prosperous. It means good. It means joy. And the word blessed means God wants to bestow prosperity, goodness, and joy to you. Blessed, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor does he stand in the way of sinners, nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. He doesn't walk with, stand beside, and he doesn't sit and watch that boob tube. But what does he do? Well, the Bible says, verse 2, but his delight, his joy, his happiness is in the law of the Lord, the word of God. And in his law doth he meditate both day and night. Now watch. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Well, who said that? God. God only wrote one book. That's this book. All you and I have to do is love this book, read this book, live this book, trust this book. And if we do that, the creator of the ends of the earth who created you in the womb of your mother, he says this, I will bless you. Oh, what do I got to do? I want God to bless me. What do I got to do? Verse 2, he that delights in the law of the Lord and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know what the news is going to be on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? In this next following week in America with Trump and the Democrats. Hey, is it going to be the same thing that's been the last 6 months, 2 years, 3 years? Why waste your time? You want to spend some time where God blesses you? Any of you here lonely? Any of you depressed? Any of you ever get discouraged? Oh, I wish, God, where are you? I'm right here. Would you just simply delight in my word? I promise I want to bless you. Point number one, how can I get God to bless me? Love, trust, obey His word. Obedience brings blessing. Disobedience brings conflicts. If I just obey God's word, study God's word, memorize it, sometimes I wake up at 2:30 in the morning. I'm just being straight honest with you, church. I'll never see most of you again. I've got to be honest with you. I wake up at 2:30 in the morning. Sometimes I can't go to sleep at night. Anybody ever have that happen? So what do I do? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me. I quote Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul longeth for thee. When I get depressed, I think about God's word. When I think I'm lonely, I trust God's word. When I'm not happy, I sing. I've been saved a long time. How can you get God to bless you? Point number one, the word of God is the answer. Get back into it. Point number two, we're almost done. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. I want God to bless my marriage, my family. How do I get him to do that? Chapter 14 of the book of Luke. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And Jesus said to his disciples in verse 11, chapter 14 of Luke. Point number two, how else can I get God to bless me? For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, Jesus said. This is our Lord talking. And he's talking to his disciples. And he said that he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also unto him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends nor thy brethren. Luke 14, verse 12b. Neither thy kinsmen nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense to be made thee. But when thou makest a dinner, don't just have the fundamental independent Baptist come over. Don't have just your family come over. This is our Lord speaking to us. He's commanding us. If you want God to bless you, this is what you need to do. Verse 13, but when thou makest a feast and call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, but when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. How can I get God to bless me? On the way down here from Greenville, South Carolina, I didn't know this had happened. I wasn't looking for an illustration. So I go to McDonald's. I don't like to go to McDonald's, but they have this dollar iced tea. And so I go to McDonald's because they got a dollar iced tea. It's about this big. And so as I'm going there, going to the bathroom, there's the poor guy. He's about 100 pounds or 98 pounds. He looked as poor as a church mouse. And he had a book open. It was the Bible. And he looked as poor as church. I said, that's the best book. That's the only book God wrote. That's a great book. So I went to the bathroom, and I thought, well, I wonder if he's going to say anything. So when I came out, he said, sir, can you help a poor sinner saved by grace? I said, sure. What can I help you with? He said, I haven't eaten in 2 days. I said, what do you want? I just want a fish sandwich. Can I have a fish sandwich? Sir, I'll give you, you want a french fries with that? No, I just want a fish sandwich. So I came back and I witnessed to him. He was already saved. He was a poor black man and nobody cared for his soul. One of the things you could do is when you go to, any of you ever go out and eat? So whenever you go out and eat, one of the things you can say to the next time the waitress comes and says, can I take your order? Say this. Yes. My people, you know what? We pray for folks. What can we pray for you about? I did this the first five times I did this. The first three people that answered that question at a different restaurant. One lady just started crying. She said, my husband just left me. I have four kids. Bowed her head. This is my third job. I have to work. Pray for me. Got another lady, another waitress, different time. I just found out my two-year-old has cancer. Please pray for me. You'll be shocked. The world is hurting. And our Lord is saying, get your eyes open. Get away from this thing. Get out there where the people are. Well, I don't know what to do. Get out there where the folks. How many people did Jesus lead in his house? He got out among them. And the world today is more depressed, more discouraged, more despondent than ever before. People are hurting. Did you know that every 16.2 seconds while I've been preaching to you, somebody in America has taken a gun and shot their brains out? Every 16.2 seconds while I'm talking to you, somebody took a knife and cut their wrist in America. Every 16.2 seconds in this country, somebody took a handful of opioids and put it in their mouth. Somebody jumped off a bridge. How often does this happen in America? Check it out. 16.2 seconds. Somebody says, I can't take it anymore. Why are people doing this in our country? And the answer is they have no hope. And I'm trying to share with you today. I'll never see most of you again. Christ is in you, the hope of glory for them. Somebody needs to care. These don't matter. That doesn't matter. What matters is the souls of men and the Word of God. Christians, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, how much energy you have, how much energy you don't have. Go sit on a street corner and pass out tracts. Tell somebody about Jesus. There's more people dying and going to hell in America today than there ever has been. Somebody needs to care. And God has called you, Fundamental Independent Baptist, in this little old town to care. He's called you to care. Somebody in this little old town last night thought about killing themselves. Somebody in this town and a married couple got in a fight. He slapped her. There's something. Somebody needs to care. Jesus is saying, I'm going to bless you. Please let me bless you. You say, well, how can we get in the Word, read God's Word. Number two, go out and find the poor, the lame, the halt, and blind, and give, and God will give you. Point number three, and we're done. Romans chapter 10. Real quickly, Romans chapter 10. This is Paul speaking to the church at Rome, Christians. And we know Romans chapter 10, some of it. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We can quote that in our Romans Road evangelism course. Verse 13, how then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And verse 15, how can I get God to bless me? Romans 10, 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. You know what God says? If you're here today and you'll go tell someone else, point number three is telling the gospel. Point number two is helping the poor. Point number three is giving the gospel. He says your feet will be blessed. Now I need someone to take your shoe and sock off and put it on a pew in front of you and let us all look at your feet, your foot. How beautiful are your feet? Can we be honest? Now my foot has a little toe starting to turn sideways. Okay? Now my second toe is bigger than my big toe. Now my wife's toe, don't tell her, this is not being recorded, I hope, but she's got this curve. What do you ladies call that? Where the big toe's going this way and the bone is coming out this way? A bunion. So she's got these bunions. And I say, honey, baby, your feet look so nice. You've got beautiful feet. She says, they're as ugly as sin. And I said, no, sweetheart, let me rub your feet. No, just get away. I'm not giving you any kisses. Just go on. So, but you know what? Your feet are precious in the eyes of Christ. One day, Jesus got down in front of the 11. He took his clothes off. That means he took most of his clothes off. He used some of them. And he got a towel. And he went to the disciples and started washing their feet. You know why Jesus did that? Because he wanted to deliver a message. We are to be servants. And our Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, wiped and cleaned these dirty feet. And because our Lord did that, those 11 men plus Paul took the gospel of Christ around the world. He knew that their feet connected to their heart and their mind was the hope of the gospel. And you and I live in America today because many years ago our Lord humbled himself and he washed the feet of the disciples and he says, how beautiful are these feet? Because they are going to take the gospel. What hands does Christ have? Save your hands. What mouth does Christ have? Save your mouth. What feet does Christ have? Save your feet. Oh, Brother Steve, I just wish God would bless me. Well, how do I get God to bless me? Read my Bible, pray every day, and it'll grow. Get rid of this. Point number two, Lord, help me to find someone that's hurting. It may be in your church. It may be a widow. You know the greatest category of people who commit suicide? Highest percentage? Men whose wives died when they're over 70. Check all this out. So Christians, as we close today, I want God to bless you. I'll never see most of you again. But I'm telling you, I have a burden on my heart for this country. And oh God, help Steve not to love these things. Help me, Lord, to love this thing. Read it, memorize it, love it. And help me to go find somebody that's poor and needy. And God, help me use my feet to tell others of Christ. And if I would do that, God promises he's going to bless my marriage, my finances, my children, my home, and my life, and my church. Whatsoever you do, prosper. Let's bow our heads together in prayer.